Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
It was the coldest night you remember, on the darkest new moon, the longest day of December. Well, you couldn't be proud enough, and your conscience wasn't loud enough to look out one now when everything you thought you knew is running out. And there's blood on your now you wanna forget everything, where you came from, what you know inside, and what's hiding behind your pride. Well, the ocean's never deep enough, and you can't cry yourself to sleep enough to look out what now, and everything you thought you knew just ran out. When the devil's bold, then you came to me in my city. You were on your knees, but my profits and my pockets are empty.
And welcome, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter with that When Pigs Fly, and I hope you enjoyed that song, December. How perfect for this kind of weather we're having. It's so partially cold, especially out here on the west side in L.A., probably for sure in the east side. Again, that was December by Angie Matson. You know, I've had her way back when on my show and played many, many of her songs. Do check her out, AngieMatson.com. And I know she has a new EP, which is a collaboration of a couple of her old songs and a couple of new songs that she had recently put out. So do check that out. So, everybody, first of all, this being my last show for 2011, because I will have a takeoff for 2 weeks, you know, I want to wish everybody out there, whatever holiday, first of all, those celebrating Hanukkah, Chag Sameach, and Happy Hanukkah, and those celebrating Christmas, a very Merry Christmas, and those celebrating Kwanzaa, Happy Kwanzaa, and for everyone, have a glorious and happy New Year. Today's show is going to be interesting because I was trying to figure out what I'm going to talk to do, and then it came to me, and it was actually more or less why I noticed a consistency while I was doing consultations. If people know, I do readings and consultations in a facility called Psychic Eye Bookstore in Sherman Oaks, California, so do check that out if you wish. But I noticed a commonality of the same situation over and over. Sounds like I was like a broken record, repeating myself all the time. And one of the issues I notice comes to the issue of self-worth and self-love. And the reason, and this I'm talking from a microcosm, because I know that from people, they get caught up in the trivia stuff, and then there's a situation, oh, does he love me, does she love me, or da-da-da-da, and, you know, the circumstance of relationships, and then there's the father, the mother, the sister, the brother, the friends, the work, the boss. Pretty much almost over and over things, same situations. So I started wondering about that. So, but before I get into the elaborations, which I'm going to get into, I know I'm going to go off slightly off tangent now here. But that's why I want to get into the issue of self-love and self-love, because I think they're so imperatively important. Is that, I guess I repeated myself, imperative and important are one and the same, right? But anyway, first of all, realizing, I want to say, looking back now in 2011, giving my reverence, reflecting on 2011, I want to thank God and the universe just for all that I had experienced in 2011. I thank God and the universe for that I am and what I am to experience in 2012. And I am truly feel and am the joy, the essence of the joy, being in the moment. Learning from the past, but not resenting it. Reflecting upon the past, but not encumbered by it. Learning from the past, but not making it my ball and chain. And while from my past, taking responsibility of all choices and experiences. Looking toward a direction, not a destination. Seeing where my direction is. Being in within my future. But at the same time, feeling the joy, the essence of it all, being in the moment. As the Buddha had once said, there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. So now, probably wondering again, self-love, self-worth. People don't really talk about it as much. Or they do they? It's sort of like deflected in a lot of circumstances. You've probably seen self-help books, and a lot of them utilize different methodologies to achieve similar things. And some of the things I may elaborate on will transcend upon those, some of those things you may have heard or learned or whatever. But things are pretty simple. But the self-worth affects us in and self-love and so many circumstances, literally everything, because that is really what we are and why we're here, to have and develop our self-worth and self-love, which is basically healing ourselves through our experiences, and of course gaining wisdom and knowledge and understanding is pretty much the de facto of that, which increases our frequency, which opens our perception. All goes hand in hand. So simple. We, you, me, us, even humanity at large, as a whole, as well as individuality, is in itself about what? Self-worth and self-love, isn't it? But first, let me get you into the mix of matters of the essence of what self-worth and self-love are within the esoterics. And I'm not going to try to get so encumbered into it. I'm going to try not to, but I think it's important to visually understand self-worth and self-love and the esoteric understandings of who we are, all of us, you, me. So simply take for what I'm about to tell you and what it is. All of us, you, me, what are we? Told this in countless other shows. We are simply energy. Like I said, I've mentioned this many, many times. We are simply energy. Our essence, our souls, our physical, as well as our inner being, we are what? Energy. And energy, what is energy? Is it something that sits there? No, it's moving, buzzing. It is in constant movement. It is a verb. Buzzing, buzzing. This is the reality of who, what we are. We are the constant of movement. We are energy. Anyway, even whether by our consciousness or mind, our inner self, it is buzzing. We are energy. And what does energy do? It's like vibrates, like a frequency, like a tuning fork, like a sound, like a musical note. Zzz. Carries within its own wavelength. This frequency, this wave, is what one would call the measure of enlightenment. But this is not something to measure. It just is. It's sort of funny because I've explained this in so many ways to so many people. It's like funny, I find myself reiterating myself sometimes, but I guess it's the best way to explain who and what we are, essentially. And people have heard of issues of like numerology and things like that, so, but this is sort of like, in a way like that. Like I heard people, I said numbers, what are your numbers, blah, blah, blah. You're basically like a note, and this is where you are as a frequency. You're like a note. You are a note. You're like a ding, you're A, sharp, B, C. That's your characteristic, that's you. That's your individuality. You have a unique sound. That's you, that's the string within the musical note. Ironically, this sort of sounds like string physics. You being a note, your energy, this is sort of like the string of string physics. Or perhaps this is where, again, science meets the esoteric. So we are simply, what? A frequency of energy. And this is how and what we are. This is how and what we are within our reflection. And what is that reflection? It is our self-worth, our self-love. But then what is self-love and self-worth? Well, let's go into what love is. Love, real love. Real love, I've mentioned this over and over again, countless times. But I'll say it again, like Sam. Play it again with Sam. That the only real love is unconditional love, meaning no, I say again, no conditions. Remember this, because I'm going to come back to it again later in this show. Love has no conditions. So therefore, self-love is unconditionally loving yourself. Loving yourself with no conditions. Now, I'm not saying love, self-love is some narcissistic thing. Oh, I'm so great. egotistically based. That's not love. That's loving the alter self. It's loving the false of yourself. Because self-love is in reality is the connection of the reality that we are all connected, which within the universe, experiencing the unconditional love of the universe, including within ourselves and with each other on Earth, transcends. Let me explain why. Because as our self-worth increases, our self-love, being it directly increasing, directly affects what? Our frequency, by whether increasing it or decreasing it. If our self-worth goes up, our self-love, the frequency goes up. So remember I mentioned this like a note? Well, your note is held within like an octave. And depending on your self-love, your self-worth, that's the octave you're at. And as you're increasing the frequency of your self-worth, your self-love, you go up in a new octave. If you have less self-love and self-worth, you diminish your frequency. Your goes lower, down. So you're lower an octave. Just essentially, what does it mean? Like when you're going toward the light, you're actually just going to a higher frequency. Going lower frequency. It's almost like even light. Light itself is like that, right? The higher the frequency, the brighter the light. Lower the frequency, lower light. Sort of funny how that works out, doesn't it? Sorry. As our self-worth increases, again, how our self-love increases directly affects, again, our frequency by increasing or decreasing. All things are cause and effect. For every action, there's a reaction. Cause. That's causing your self-worth, your self-love to develop, or not directly. It all affects your frequency. Your self-worth is found in every aspect of your life. Everything literally is surrounded by your self-love and self-worth. You can't even get around it. You yourself, the way you look, your relationship with yourself, obvious. Your relationship with your lover, father, kid, child, mother, daughter, your associates, acquaintances, people maybe you like or dislike, your friends, casual friends, close friends, distant friends, no matter what. Your self-worth and self-love directly affects yourself, but also in the relationship toward those relationships. Because, like I said, you're like a note. And because you're at an octave, what happens if you're a one octave and they're a different octave with a different note? Not too harmonic, is it? This gets an elaboration where I'll get into this right now. I was going to do it later, but I think come to thinking, I love going improving. Be getting into like people who your self-worth, your self-love is at one level, at a certain position in the octave, and you're like vibrating. And you meet somebody, or whoever, doesn't matter, relation, whatever it is. Let's say boyfriend, girlfriend, that's all the easier. And you're at the same level. So you're able to communicate and relate to each other. What happens if you're trying to heal yourself and you start moving upward? Vice versa. Or, on the contrary, when it actually goes down. that relationship is dependent on what? Between you two. Two buzzing energies. So if you're up and that one is down, naturally one or the other will pull the other one up. Like if you're up, you would help the other one and that one would step up to your level. That would be a healthy relationship. Meaning they put energy to get to where you are, or you get to them if they're higher up than you. At the same time, they're helping you as you're going up. That's healthy. And usually a healthy relationship is mutually one going up, the other being vice versa, like almost parallel going up a ladder. Where it becomes unhealthy in two accounts. One, I'll tell the obvious, is let's say you're a higher, your frequency is higher, you're a higher octave. And that one is a lower one and will try to bring you to their level at a lower frequency, a lower effect of self-love, a lower effect of self-worth. And how is this done? Many ways. By names, abuse, verbal, physical, fear, guilt, hatred. These elements are to diminish your self-worth and lower your frequency. That would be a negative one. Another negative one would be, in a relationship situation, would be if you were, let's say, had to pull somebody up consistently. You're always going up and you're constantly using your one arm. It's sort of, you know, it's sort of up the ladder, up the ladder, up the ladder. Then sort of like literally a codependent relationship. Your arm gets sort of tired doing that over and over again, pulling them up, pulling up, pulling them up. So that would be unhealthy. And of course, everybody has choices. That affects, again, your choices affect your self-worth and self-love. And then it goes back. It's like a catch-22. Because your choice, which now affected your self-worth, and based upon your level of self-worth, then affects what possible choices you make. As you increase your frequency, you have a better perspective because your perspective is more open. You're able to see things more, which you'll have a better ability, increasing ability to make the proper choices. We all make choices. Well, how do we make these wrong choices? How do you mean people go, oh, they're so stupid. They made those stupid choices. Because they lower their frequency. They lower their standards of choices, what they judgment out of choices. Now, what I just explained to you about relationships of energies in the resulting forms applies not just, like I said, in families, and then I can expand the self-worth in your relationship because there's not just two energies. You can look into a higher frequency from one lower to vice versa, but these things don't just apply within individuals, but they also as well apply to peoples. And when you see this, you see the obvious within the political realms around the world, around the situations around the world, the reality of things. You can see through all the BS. You can see all through the little people who are caught into, you might think, intellectually intelligent and arguably on one side or the other side. But in reality, because they are caught up in these illusions of fear and things like that, their own self-worth, as much as in reality, is actually not that up there. Their self-love is not there. You can be really, really intelligent, brilliant person, but not have any self-worth. They don't go together. Intelligence has nothing to do about self-worth. What's in that? What's intelligence? That's a whole other thing. Intelligence is a judgment. Some people say intelligence is how much information you can regurgitate. What do you, like a computer? Another one, which I would say intelligence, somebody how could solve a problem. That's being intelligent. Figuring out to solve a situation. That's to me. But everybody has their own view on that. But this is, like I said, doesn't just apply to individuals, it applies to peoples. When you see this obvious, then you'll understand that, that it is very clear in the picture of humanity at large. But let me go back to a little again. Self-worth in the individual, in your relation, in reality, you're like a note in music, an octave. Period. Simple. Very, very, very simple. So imagine that octave, how it relates to the world now. If an area in the world has less self-worth, less self-love, what happens? What if particular, let's say, gender in a particular area is situated, what happens? Okay, you know, let's look at the world, like I'm saying. Let's look at, example, one gender, which comes among because it's very consistent with I see throughout humanity. Let's look at women, for example. Where is their self-worth and their self-love, which is consistent being challenged, and where? The worst situations in the world are where? It's really so obvious. It's where a woman consistently being challenged of their self-worth. Think about it. Go look at any place around the world and where women are consistently being challenged of their self-worth, more so than likely there is a situation of wars, conflict, brutal tension, totalitarianism. Where is this? Oh, maybe perhaps in the Middle East. Perhaps in Africa, perhaps some places in Asia, perhaps some places in South America. More so than anyways. But look at an example just in the Middle East alone, where there is consistently been put into effect an overt, not a covert, an overt challenge upon women in their own self-worth. I mean, look at women who are raped. Then they're the ones thrown in jail, like they did something wrong. Or beheaded because they think that they were sorcerers or witches. Or is that like Saudi Arabia? I go to every most Middle East countries and look at where women are. From Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Jordan, even amongst the Palestinians, Lebanon, Egypt, Libya. How safe is it when a woman walks down the street? A journalist goes there and she can get raped. That happened in a famous journalist happened that in Egypt. Why? Where is this respect toward women? And this isn't just a generalization I'm making. This is a reality. This is, I'm not being trying to be politically correct. It's just the way it is. Look at the dogma that's being embraced. I mean, I'm going to get into the dogmas of religion in a second, but you can see within even the Islamic culture and the Islamic tongue, what are women? Why are they allowed to have acetone in their face? For what reason? Or beaten? And then they're told to cover their faces, cover their hair. They're taught to make, oh, that's something holy, it's better to do that. Why? Why men aren't doing that? Something sexual about a woman? Why? It seems to be the man's problem. Reason why this is done is to what? Diminish the self-worth of the woman. These are made-up male reasons for what? This is created out of dogma for one reason. To reduce the self-worth of the woman for what? Control. That is why it's being in place. This is the easiest way to help. What if you do? If you diminish the self-worth and self-love of a woman, you've already taken care of, controlled half the population with just one stroke of the pen or voice or some stupid belief. You control half the population now. He hit the dog so hard that left went the female dog so the female dog on the head. Now, what do you do with the male dog? Male dog's now real easy. That's the neck. You already covered half the population. That is why it was done in dogmas. That's why it's done in organized religion. But it's so in your face in Islam and in today's world. Maybe that's why there's such a backlash when it goes into Western cultures, where it's a movement of women to be recognized as individuality and don't have to cover their heads and show their faces, and they're at this equal to men. Equal to men. Not above, not below, equal. Where would be the self-worth? You know, now here, things like, oh, well, we've had, you know, Pakistan has had women prime ministers and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. Those are just like little exceptions to the situations. Look at the base of the culture and their belief systems. But I'm just doing it in general. And like, what would happen if I expand upon it? You know, using an example, because I think this is really good. If self-worth of woman in the Middle East changed, let's say a place like Iran, what would happen if the Iranian woman said to the mullah, ayatollahs and the mullahs and the imams or whatever, and pull off their chadors, all of them, and then basically flip their middle finger to them and to the BS belief system, and so we are equal of you. We don't have to cover our heads. Of course, they'd be threatened with violence, right? They'll come out and beat them up, throw them in jail. But if all of them stood up, we're going to throw every single woman. What a revolution that would be. That would be a wave. How can any... What really weirds me out about that is, don't they realize that's somebody's mother? That's somebody's grandmother? That's somebody's sister? That could be your sister, your mom, your daughter. So if that happened, women had the self-love and self-worth drastically increased in Iran, for example, what would happen to the rest of the Middle East? Would there be like a wave? What would happen if that happened, went from Iran to Iraq? Would there be wars? Would they be needing to develop a nuclear weapon in Iran? Would they need to, cause war? Would they want to supply violence with other areas, other things such as the Hezbollah or Hamas, though killing other people? Or would they be more concerned with helping developing a society great in their own understanding with openness and tolerance, which the great Cyrus the Great once had when Persia, Iran was once great? Hint, hint. What would happen to the rest of the Middle East though? Arabia, Yemen, Oman. The Gulf states. What would happen? Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Turkey. What would even happen within, let's say, within the West Bank, Gaza, Israel, Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco? What would happen? big, big change, wouldn't it? If that would happen, there would actually be peace in the entire world. Think about it. Indonesia, Africa, Thailand, Myanmar. I mean, what would happen if all the women in the world had gotten their self-worth and self-love? What would happen? And look at the organized religions who have caused why. I'm not going to leave any of them out right now. I've obviously got into the Islamic Islam. Why? What? Why did it do it? For what reason? I mean, look in the Islamic society and culture, and I'm telling how it is. It's not being a hatred or saying, oh, they're not. Come on, let's get real. It's not being a holy. That's all bullshit. Soul has no gender in reality. Soul does not have a penis or a vagina. So why is it to diminish half the population? Why is it to make them feel guilty or utilize fear to diminish their fear? Why is it even just generally, and not just a woman, but generally, why is it tell a person that something will be bad or something we've done evil or something bad or there's a cruel God that you'll get punished? Or why would you tell somebody that their God is a lesser God, you're the true God and they're lesser, so you got to convert them? And this goes on to other organized religions. From Christianity saying, Jesus said it's only my way. Oh, again, why is that coming out like that? My way, the only way? And if you don't, you go where? To hell? Those who do not believe in Jesus' way, go to where? Hell. And what's hell? It's that, you know, it's funny, hell's not even described in the Bible. Except for somebody later this created this vision of the of that being, you know, the devil and you can burn and what was his name? I forget now. Oh yeah, Dante. Dante's hell. A guy who created this, I think, and that's how it came out being. And that hell became out of a Gregorian ideology. To create what? To create fear and guilt. If you don't believe in him, you go where? If you don't do this, here. Oh, and then there's original sin. You've committed sin, so out of that sin, giving you guilt, he's trying, by believing him, helps relieve your sin. Guilt, fear. Guilt, fear. Any religion based upon guilt and fear does what? Diminish your self-worth and self-love, which is not something of an enlightened thing. Get it? Just talking about that in Islam. The same thing goes in Christianity. What about Judaism? The same thing. They say, if you don't follow this law, God's going to punish you. Like God's, first of all, personification all of a sudden. Oh, yeah, it's Christianity. Is that Father and Son. Islam doesn't name Allah, and he's on my side, not your side. Another illusion. Follow these commandments. If you don't, this is all based upon fear. Somebody said, was it Thomas Paine said that a cruel God makes a cruel man? Think about it. Wow, is that so on the nose? A cruel God makes a cruel man. So look at that within organized religions. If they have a cruel God, then what? And what does that do? It's directly to what? What is the ambition of organized religion? Whether it's Judaism, Christianity, Islam, to diminish your self-worth and your self-love. are going to say, oh my God, he's like the devil, he's the heretic. Great, I'll be the heretic, that's what you want to call me. Why? Because I'm telling you the truth, I'm telling you for it is, and I ain't the first one. I think there was a guy like Baruch Spinoza who talked about it, Thomas Jefferson, we're all heretics. Jesus himself was a heretic because he even questioned it. Of course, they changed what his beliefs were and some made-up dogmas afterward. We go from Buddha to all the esoterics. Lao Tzu. They all told you how it is. Why did we peoples go to societies and try to convert them? Muslims try to convert them into one. Christians try to convert them into another. To make them what? And for what reason? Control. It really is, I hate to tell you, the truth is, organized religion is the opium of the peoples. I mean, that even Karl Marx, which I disagree on a lot of things, that is actually a truth. It's more than an opiate. Get the person drugged, you're reducing their self-worth. So now I ask, what if you had your self-worth and your self-love? Would you truly be aware of your own choice of the mind and heart? What then would you choose between love and hate if you had your self-love? What if your own self-worth, you had your own self-worth and self-love, then your choice is really as simply as common sense? Wouldn't it be a better choice if you had your self-love and self-worth? What if I say you could believe in your self-worth with self-love and while unconditionally loving all and respecting all that is around you? What if I told you it is as easy as holding your child, kissing your lover, enjoying a sunset, smelling a flower, drinking the water, breathing the very air that surrounds you, listening to the raindrops as they fall? What if it was that easy? Wouldn't you choose love over hate? And what would happen to your self-love and self-worth if you did? What if you had your own self-love and your self-worth? Would you no longer post or lie or march in the goose-step of a hate or division? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? Then what would happen maybe to the blogs and the news? Would there be no more conflicts to write upon of their opinions? Would the journalists and bloggers and newscasters be out of jobs? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? Would that stop the preaching that my God is better than your God or my law is the only law? Or if you do not believe in him or her or what, you are not worthy, or women are less than men, or submit to our way or die, or it's my way or the highway? Would those folks be out of a job? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? An ascension was and were and will be here. The choice is yours. You are the ascension. The ascension is self-worth and self-love. What if you had your own self-worth and self-love, that fear of change and growth and love that was taught and practiced to you and your children and your grandchildren and children and then on forward? What would happen then? Perhaps it would fade? The fear of change, the fear of love and growth, that fear would just dissipate and be gone. And instead, an embracement to growth, a change, and love, and a conditional love would be as common as water. What if you had your own self-worth and love, so much so that the fear and hate you have been taught would have been faded from you and had been changed and basically be gone? What if you had your own self-love and self-worth to the extent that your love and your mutual respect would be the epitome, the embracement, instead of the effigies of lies, deceit, fear, guilt, and hate? What if you had your own self-love and self-worth? What would happen to love and compassion? Would they be as common as water, as air that you breathe? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? What would happen in the divisions of land, of peoples and governments and organized religions? Would they be no more? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love, then the beings from far above and reaching galaxies have been observing us from millennium to millennium? What would happen? We'd no longer be pawns of the dark. What would then be our true encounter? What if we had our own self-love and self-respect and self-worth? Then what would happen to the clerics of religious orders? They'd have no work, no more. What if you had your self-love and self-worth? Would there be no left, no right, no liberals, no conservatives, but just individuality that was respected mutually, and there was a true embodiment and an embracement of humanity that walked the very steps toward what? Love. What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? What would happen to the likes of things like Fox News? Would they be telling real news? What if you had your own self-love and self-worth? What would happen to things like CNN? Would they, by its own measure, confirm that there are and have always been ETs and extraterrestrials and aliens, beings who have been visiting upon our planet? Sorry, we didn't tell you, would be their answer. What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? What would happen to our governments? What would they be? What would happen if our own worth, self-love, was increased to such an extent? What would happen with President Obama? Would he admit that here's the complete, full, truthful disclosure of UFOs and ETs from our government, and there's always been ETs, and you know what? We're really sorry about that. The government held back. What if? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? Would CNN finally disclose that, yes, in the true nature of the Bilderbergs and elitist organizations and the truth of the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England and the realities of what the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Rothschilds, a.k.a. real name Bowers or the Windsors were really up to? What would you then do? What would your choices be if you had self-worth and self-love in these situations? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? Would we have the energy systems of today, or would our energy be free? Would we be utilizing electromagnetic energy that is at our disposal at this very moment, these technologies? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love, and perhaps realize that energy is actually free? But those in the dark want you to believe in the effigies of lies and deceit. You would see right through those, now wouldn't you? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love, then you realize that when you die, you just simply come back only to receive what you've already manifested? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love, then you realize there is no such thing to fear and love, and no fear in mutual respect? What if you had your own self-worth and self-love, then you'd realize that you had the choice? And what if, again, your own self-love, your own self-worth, then you would realize you can teach your children to love and respect? And what if you had your own self-love and self-worth and self-respect? Then you would realize that you can make changes, drastic changes in your paths of darkness to one of light, and embrace the path of light by simply what? Walking with love. What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? Then you realize the hate was not your fate. What if you had your own self-love and self-worth? Then you would realize that you and many of you can preach, write, paint, sing, march, practice other methods of expression taught and preached of love instead of hate and division. What if you had your own self-worth and self-love? Then you would realize that you can turn your tongues into plowshares. What if you had your own self-worth and self-love, then you'd realize ascension is here, magnifying to an ever-expanding form, and there would be those who still, of course, choosing not to, but that's their choice. What if you realize by having your self-worth, there's the path of light with embracing of upcoming changes upon the wings of Raphael? What would there be? What would you choose to endeavor the truth, the wisdom, the healing? These choices of light, which is like, will be like the cobblestones of the very path that the inhabitants of earth will walk. It is the ascension, the self-worth, your self-love. It is found upon the vibration of unconditional love and self-respect, self-worth. The ultimate reward, of course, the reward is you. And it's all about love, isn't it? So again, what is self-worth, self-love? It is so simple. Love is. I'll repeat again. It is love. Real love. The only, and I'll say it again, the only real love is unconditional love. Love meaning no, again I say no conditions. And to remember this cause will come back to it. Meaning it always reflects upon yourself. Having no conditions. So self-love is unconditional loving yourself. It is a cause of who you are. You are the cause and effect. So expanding your self-love and self-worth is how do you do this? I used the four-letter word, and it was not fuck you, it was love. Love yourself. Love the great soul that you truly are. Love for the great true glory that you are within the universe. Love yourself, who you are. You are of the universe and of God. The universe loves you, and the love of the universe is the very connection held within you. The reality that you and the universe are one. Hence the voice says God is one. We are one with God and the universe. So you can listen to the many Tibetan bowls. The bowls, light some incense, do some yoga, pray, chant mantras. But remember to laugh, play, have fun, be a child within. Feel the love within you for the child you are. But remember, it's all about integrity. Integrity is the backbone of your spiritual consciousness. It is the barometer and backbone of your soul. With it is your self-worth. It is your self-being. You know, I've sometimes elaborated about integrity, about how important it is. You can do all light, all the incense, do all the mantras, you have to have integrity. To others and toward yourself. Having integrity toward yourself is what? Having self-respect and self-love. By the same token, it's respecting others, which reflects back to yourself. So like I said, everything comes down to self-love and self-worth. For we are what we are. All we are is energy. And we are a frequency. Frequency that vibrates. And is a collective consciousness, both in with groups, like I talked about within the Middle East and around Africa and Europe and America, blah, blah, blah. The cities and whatever, it doesn't matter where you are. We are all connected. So as we individually increase our self-worth, we actually are increasing the self-worth and self-love of all humanity. By doing so, we also increase the self-love of all humanity and all at large. And by doing so, we make a greater change. And toward the positive, humanity moves up. Our world today, our Earth itself, is moving into a higher frequency. It is going to be coming through the coming days of 2012. Or actually, we're heading toward the time where lower energy is going to become less influence. positive energy is going to be more of the more common. In other words, the Earth sphere vortex we're at has been always on a lower frequency, thus less self-love, self-worth being felt. We have the opportunity as the Earth changes can increase its frequency. By the time it hits through 2012, we will actually be changing. Earth becomes more positive opposed to negative. Therefore, you have now even greater opportunity to increase your frequency. And just don't sit back and, oh, I just do it. You have to actually do it. If you don't, you're going to have a real problem on this Earth. Because this Earth is actually moving up. In years and years and years come, I don't know how long it'll take, but this planet will no longer be a present planet. There will be a time where there will not be borders. There will be a time where we actually have a real civilization. civilization. Because we are not a civilization, really. We are barbarians calling ourselves civilizations. That's how we've been living. Because we don't have self-worth and self-love. As we increase our self-love and self-worth, then we become civilized. We will not believe in fathers and sons being our gods or my God better than your God. We will not have to believe in the lies of the clerics. Women will believe in themselves and not have to wear chadors or things that cover their faces and arms. Told they're less than men, they will be feeling and have supporting the same opportunity, same rights, the same voices, the same every single thing, equality as far as all things. It will be a change of society. Yeah, there will be a change of culture, but that's part of change. All things change, don't they? And the one greater change than anything, the greatest change of all, is you. The greatest change would be you loving you. The greatest change is a realization that you are the epitome of love of the universe. That you can love yourself with such a simple step, a little baby step. And every little step becomes a greater step. That is your healing. That's why you're here. So with that, love yourself. Give yourself a big hug and a kiss in the mirror. And with that, I wish everyone out there a very, very happy new year. God bless you all. I haven't decided what two shows I will be playing on my next two shows. I do have some surprise guests coming on next month. And I will have more information about me doing a signing event toward next month in the Los Angeles area, and I'll keep you updated on that. It will be posted on my website for When Pigs Fly. And again, I want to thank you all for listening in. God bless you all, and have a truly, truly great, great, great New Year's. God bless you all. Love and light, and have a glorious weekend. Thank you.